The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
I want to further explore who is God and further help us get away from the childish notion that God is some being floating in some other realm over there, but rather begin to empower us to experience how God is intimately involved with us this very second. But before I can talk about God and who God is, I think we really need to start off with who we are. And so to do that, I want to share with you a quick little story about a student of mine who was at my home for Shabbat meal, for five-night meal. And as we were dialoguing, we began to talk a little bit about her family, and she was sharing about her father, and she shared that her mother's in Japan. So I asked her, well, what's her mother doing in Japan? And she said, oh, you know, she's looking for herself. So, okay, I mean, you know, that's not an uncommon phrase. We've all heard about people looking for themselves. But my children, who are Israelis, although they understand English, they don't understand it incredibly well. And when they hear English words, they immediately try to translate those words into Hebrew in their mind, just like when I hear Hebrew, I try to translate it to English in my mind, but very quickly. So my daughter at the time might have been 6 or 7 or 8 years old, I don't remember, but she was young, and she was really quite taken aback by what this woman said. So she turns to me, she says, Abba Mayamra, what did this woman say? So now I have to take this very familiar phrase and translate it, and it suddenly becomes extremely unfamiliar, because I have to say, Ima Shela, her mother, he be upon, she's in Japan, vihi mechapeset et atzma, she's looking for herself. And as I'm translating, I begin to sense how kind of ridiculous that sounds, but how ridiculous it really sounds is when I saw the shock in the eyes of my daughter as she kind of looked down at her body wondering, oh my gosh, I could lose myself. How does one lose themselves? What, you're in a hotel and you check out, but then you realize you left yourself in the room, so you run back to the receptionist. Excuse me, I think I left myself in the room. Oh, we're sorry, ma'am, we cleaned out that room. What do you mean cleaned out that room? Well, maybe yourself isn't lost or found, but that's closed right now. It's already 4 o'clock. You'll have to come back tomorrow. Imagine how ridiculous this really sounds. I mean, but we talk about it as if this is normal, that people look for themselves. We talk about liking ourselves. Well, who is the self that is liking the self? And how can I be both the subject and the object of the same sentence? We talk about hating ourselves. We even hurt ourselves. But who is hurting who? So I had a very strange experience in a supermarket in Manhattan a number of years ago. There was a man there, he's Afro-American, and he was very drunk. And he was yelling, I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to kill myself. And nobody, unfortunately, paid attention to him, or maybe I think probably everybody did, but nobody wanted him to notice that because they're afraid he'd kill them. And a policeman approaches him and says, he's also Afro-American, so forgive me for giving a little bit of the drama the way it sounded. He says, now what you going to do that for? So the fellow says, because my mama hates me and my papa hates me, and you know, quite frankly, I hate me. So the policeman says to him, but what you going to kill yourself for? So the guy said, because when I kill myself, I'm going to be happy. Yeah, I'm going to be real happy. So the policeman says, now listen to what you're saying. If you kill yourself, you're going to be dead. And if you're dead, how will you know you're happy? You're dead. So the guy says, what? What you say? If I kill myself, I'm going to be dead? God says, yeah. And if I'm dead, how will I know I'm happy? I'm dead. And the policeman says, that's right. The guy says, oh man, I can't even kill myself and be happy. Now, who did he think was going to survive his death? Who did he think he was killing, and who did he think was going to live on into some great afterlife? And yet somehow we do intuit the eternity of ourself, and that there is a distinction between the self and the persona or the character that I play. For instance, perhaps you recall when you were a child, I know when I was a child, I asked this little crazy question, which went, I wonder who I would have been if my mother would have married another man. Now, at first hearing, that like really sounds ridiculous, but it doesn't. Intuitively, we feel this makes sense, that I, if my mother would have married another man, I would have been born, but I might not have been born with the name David. I might not have been born a short redhead. I might have been born a tall blonde, right? And I might have been born with a set of other skills than the skills I have now. Maybe I would have had a higher IQ, or maybe I would have been less emotional, or whatever. But really, the Kabbalah teaches us that the soul, which is the essential you, the soul is the I that's speaking to you, and the you that's listening to I, that soul is a spark of God, a part of God, an aspect of God. If God were the sun, then the soul would be a ray of that sun that is constantly connected to that sun, and yet nonetheless not the sun. And that soul, which is the true you and the true I, comes into this world and is given a character to play. So one of us came into this world as Scott, and one of us came in the world as Perry, with all the various statistics and various characteristics about us in terms of our talents, our strengths, our weaknesses, our likes, our dislikes, our positive inclinations, our negative inclinations. But that's the character we play. This is really the meaning of astrology, which Judaism acknowledges to having some truth, although Judaism does warn us against the practice of astrology. But nonetheless, the Talmud does discuss that when one is born under certain times, that those times, the organization of the stars, the constellation, is an indication of the character that we're given. But it's kind of like an actor. The soul is like an actor being given a part. And that actor could play multiple parts in multiple plays. Therefore, in Jewish tradition, there's something called reincarnation, which means not that David Aaron will come back, but I will come back. In this life, I play David Aaron. In the next life, I will play, I don't know what I might play, if I have to come back in the next life. In fact, my neighbor, she shared with me a humorous story, how her daughter did something inappropriate, and her mother rebuked her. And when her mother rebuked her, the little girl didn't really appreciate the rebuke. And she then responded, next time, when I'm your mother and you're my daughter, you're in big trouble. And it's really quite amazing that a child would intuit the possible exchange in a different lifetime of roles whereby she would be playing the mother, and the soul playing the mother would now be playing the daughter. I had a very shocking experience one time. I took my older children to Yad Vashem, which is the museum memorializing the Holocaust, those who had been murdered in the Holocaust. And I shared with my children a very tragic story that's in my own family, whereby my aunt, who was in the concentration camp, taken from her arms were her baby, and she was made to witness the murder of her child. And I share this with my children, my older children. About a month or two later, I'm walking in town with my son, and out of nowhere, my son turns to me and says, you know, Abba, I'm that baby. I don't know what he's talking about because it's totally out of context. And I say, you're not a baby. You're like 14 years old. He says, no. You remember you told us the story about your aunt and how the Nazis murdered her baby? I'm her baby. Now, you can imagine the chills I felt when my son said such a thing. But that is something he deeply felt to be true. Now, whether that is true or not, I don't know. But the possibility of that being true is definitely true. That we can come back into this world and play different parts. So when that drunken man wanted to kill himself, who did he really want to kill? And who did he think would survive the suicide? You know, Woody Allen has a line, I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. But of course you will be there. Who is the self? So really, Jewish mysticism teaches us that me, so to speak, would be the character we play, but the self is the soul, and the soul is an actor, and the soul comes into this world and plays a part. So therefore, that drunken man wanted to kill the part he was playing. He didn't like playing an Afro-American drunken man, one who felt his mother and father hated him, right? But he was hoping to kill the character and survive as a soul. And he's actually right. He could do that, but you're not allowed to do that. Because who guarantees that such a way of leaving this world will give you a happier existence after? So when the policeman said, if you're dead, how will you know you're happy? Actually, the policeman is wrong. He can know he's happy because he as soul will survive the death of his character, but he will not be happy. Right, because that's not the way one takes leave of this world. God decides when we leave this world and when and if we get another part. So, but why is it that we intuit this eternity of self? Why is it that we intuit the possibility of exchanging roles and multiple lives and afterlife? We intuit the eternity of the self because the self is eternal. Because the self, the real you and the real I, is no less than and no other than an expression of God, a ray of light of the endless light of God. That doesn't mean you and I are God, but it does mean that you and I are manifestations of God. And our life chore is to think, speak, and act in ways that manifest that ecstatic truth. And that's really what Jewish teachings and Jewish lifestyle is there to empower us to do and experience. But we intuit eternity because we will never die. And this is a very important point in Judaism, especially clarified in Kabbalah, that death is an illusion. You will not die. I will not die. David Aaron will die. But I am not David Aaron. I play David Aaron. It's someone like an actor taking a death scene seriously. Imagine the actor is being scripted to die. And what happens is he takes it seriously. The director, producer wants to take, you know, to do a takeover. And they say, cut, okay, Michael, let's do it again. And Michael doesn't get up. And they get Michael, Michael took it seriously. I can't believe, Michael, get up. Right? It's as silly as the actor taking his death scene seriously and not getting up. Right? It's the character that dies and the actor gets up and takes a new part. So too, the soul, which is an aspect of God, an expression of God, a part of God, a piece of God, the soul is eternal just as God is eternal. You and I are eternal, although the characters we play are not. And the truth is that each and every one of us is actually a masterpiece. We are a piece of the master. But we are not the master. And that accounts for what we would call the I. There's me, which is the character I play, self, which is the soul. But who is the I? Who is the master self? The master self is who we call God. It doesn't matter what word you use, whether it's Adonai or, but there is a master self, and it's clear to me that I am not the master, although it is clear to me that I am the master piece. Now, what does that mean, that I'm the masterpiece? How do I know that intuitively and literally know that in a very visceral way? I know that I am a masterpiece and I'm not the master because I am not the master of my life. I cannot turn my heart on and off at will. I cannot turn my mind on and off at will. I cannot turn my emotion on and off at will. I can choose what I want to do with my life, but I cannot choose to stop and start my life whenever I want to. In other words, is it truly ourselves that is beating our heart? If I am beating my heart at this very moment, then I should be able to stop it and start whenever I want to. But I can't, because it is not the self that is beating the heart, but the ultimate I, the master self. And so too my mind, right? My mind is constantly thinking. What I choose to think is perhaps under my control. But that I think at all is not under my control. I can't decide to think and now stop thinking. Well then, who is the source of thinking? Who is the source of emoting? Who is the source of life? Who is beating my heart? Whoever that is, I would like to have a good relationship with, because I have a relationship with the Master Self this very second. This very second, with every word I enunciate, I cannot do alone. The power to speak, the wisdom it takes, the motor skills it employs are not mine. Well then, whose are they? Whoever that is we call Adonai, the Master Self. You see, our connection to God is not with some being floating in outer space over there in some other realm. But rather, this very second, we are connected and plugged into some master life force, some master thinker, some master emoter, whatever the words we use. We are a piece of the master. We are not the master. And every second of our existence cannot be alone. We are never, ever, ever alone. And there's nothing that we can do independent of our connection to God. Now, sometimes God allows us to take the wisdom He shares and the life He shares and allows us to do things that just contrary to His will. And that's an interesting discussion, why? But it's important to understand that this very second and this very word that I speak is not really I that speaks, but we that speaks. And I would suggest, as almost a consciousness shock, that we would take a day and rather than ever say I, we would say we. Imagine you walk into a restaurant and the waiter says, "What would you like?" And he said, "Well, we would like to order a, an omelet." He look at you like you're nuts. "We? Friend, you're sitting by yourself, man. You know, no, I'm never sitting by myself, right? I don't even know how to sit, right? The control, the muscular control that it takes to sit, I didn't imbue within myself. I simply tap in. Every aspect of our lives is a partnership. There is no moment of our lives, no thought, no word, no act that we can do alone. It's always we. However, there are thoughts and there are thoughts and there are words and there are actions that God does not sanction and God does not want us to do. And when we do that, we weaken our connection to the Master Self. And we create within our lives dis-ease, which is not just disease, but dis-ease, a tension between the peace and the master. And if we increase that tension more and more and more, then we create a disconnect. And we experience a deep disappointment. Because our life is really a divine appointment. God has appointed us to be His secret agents. God has appointed us to be a vehicle to manifest His powers in the world. Again, a manifestation of powers that we cannot do alone. But when we betray our appointment, we disappoint ourselves. We create dis-ease in our life, we create dissonance, we experience disconnect. Now the truth is that the soul is eternal, Right? But if the soul disconnects, if the ray disconnects from the sun, then that soul creates a terrible psychic pain to itself. And therefore, to sum up in a few words the goal of Judaism and the lifestyle of Judaism and the meaning of mitzvot, it's all about living a lifestyle that acknowledges the partnership, acknowledges the mysterious we, acknowledges that every move I make, every word I say, every thought I think, I cannot do alone. I have a partner, and that partner is my senior partner, right? I am a piece, but there is a master, and there is a connection. And the more I live a lifestyle that acknowledges that connection, the more I experience it, and the more I celebrate it, and the more life force I enjoy daily.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.